Okay, so this is a support update. I'm going to just start by talking about some general support stuff, like the support activities, some little projects we've been working on, and some of the enhancements we've made to our support resources, and then spend maybe the second half of my time discussing DOIs for translation. So hopefully you guys will be willing to participate in the discussion about that. But to start with, what kind of support do we give publishers? Well, we have fairly comprehensive help documentation. We have our support site and email support, occasionally phone support. And we have an announcements forum, which I mentioned this morning, where we list any updates or system outages. We've had that for a while, but we've just made a really strong effort to keep that updated lately. So if you subscribed to it like 2 years ago and said, oh, they never post anything, it's different now. You'll get regular updates. So I suggest someone from your organization subscribes to that. This is just a snapshot of our support activity over the past year. My main point in showing this to you is that there's lots of peaks and valleys here. And a lot of the big peaks are from publisher remediation projects, like if a publisher decides to go through their metadata and clean things up, or they have a new content type, like they decide to deposit books and they have a lot of questions, that can keep us very busy, which is good. And in the downtime, we have little support projects we work on internally to clean things up. But it's usually better if the publisher initiates the cleanup. So, you know, if you come to us and say, we want to clean things up, instead of us coming to you and saying, you should clean this up, it's always a little bit better. I'd say maybe about 50% of the requests we get are from publisher members. We also get a lot of requests from organizations that work with our metadata. A lot of emails from librarians troubleshooting link resolver issues. A lot of times if we contact you and say, oh, someone's noticed that you're depositing all of your authors with the first initial in the last name field or something, that's because a librarian has pointed that out to us. And we also get a lot of questions from authors querying for DOIs to add to papers. And lately we've been getting a lot of emails from students. I don't really know how they find our support site, but you know, they've been told by their professor you have to add DOIs to your citations, and somehow they end up emailing us, which is great. So one of the projects, kind of support projects we've worked on this year is a title cleanup. We've had title recommendations and restrictions in place for several years. We stopped allowing the creation of duplicate titles in 2007, but there were still a lot of duplicates in our database. This summer, some changes were made to our deposit code that kind of forced our hand and made it so we couldn't allow any title duplicates to exist in the database. If you send in a title and it doesn't match the ISSN in our database, it's rejected. If your title and ISSN combination is in our database, but it's also in our database in another format, any deposits you send in for that title will be rejected. So usually in a situation like that, we'd like to do the cleanup before we start blocking deposits. It's just, for various reasons, it didn't work out this way. So we were kind of scrambling to clean things up. So a duplicate title would be like in this example on the left, back when we were allowing whatever to be sent to our database, people would make mistakes and they'd spell things wrong, and those titles would be recorded in our database. Right now, for your deposit to be successful, there can only be one title in our database, title ISSN combination in our database. So to clean this up, we've needed to go through duplicate titles one by one. We had about 5,000 possible duplicate titles when we started. We're pretty much done now. We still have some messy things to clean up. One thing I thought was kind of interesting, when we started this, there were 27,901 journal titles in our database. and you know, we cleaned up thousands and thousands of duplicates. But the number of titles is still going up. Right now we have 28,179. So even though we've deleted several thousand deleted duplicate titles from our database, we still have more than we started with. So that's kind of neat. So we still have some book titles and conference proceeding titles to clean up. But that's not as urgent since they aren't redeposited regularly. So, but we've made our way through most of the journals. And I'm just taking this opportunity to reiterate our best practices for managing titles. All series have to have an ISSN, and a distinct ISSN must be supplied for each distinct version of a title, and they can be assigned retroactively. Hypothetically, I heard of a case earlier where that wasn't allowed. So if you run into any problems with assigning DOIs retroactively, you can always contact us and we'll see what we can do. And online versions of journals that cover multiple historic print titles need to have distinct print and online ISSNs. You can't just lump them all under one ISSN. And also, articles should be deposited under the original journal title. If you've got everything on your site under like Journal of Whatever online, you really should be depositing that an article under the title that was originally published as, just to support all kinds of like citation linking and citation metrics. So moving on from that, another project we've done is we've integrated the help documentation into the support portal. That involved a lot of kind of behind the scenes migration. And honestly, this change affects me more than anyone else. Now it's really easy for me to update the help documentation, which is a benefit for you because you don't have to wait while I struggle with the former software. As I mentioned, we're also updating our announcements feed regularly. There's just a screenshot of our support portal. I'm actually going to go into more detail about that in a second. We've added some documentation for some of the new tools and initiatives you've heard about. All of the documentation for the deposit harvester that Chuck mentioned is in the support in the help site. So if that piqued your interest, you can always go there and figure out how to retrieve your data. We're also updating the help with FundRef information. We recently added API instructions for that. And we've also added more robust schema documentation, which is, I'm going to try to actually look at this. Our schema documentation is like for some those of you who are familiar with this sort of thing. It's just the documentation that's output by Oxygen. We've been using that for a while, but we also had a PDF with kind of lots of like a really rich information about each element in our schema. So you could go to the schema documentation or the schema to just look at the details of like restrictions for each element, but then you'd have to go to the PDF to actually get more global information about the element. So we've actually integrated that into the schema documentation as an annotation. So now it's all in one place, which hopefully is handy. The support portal, this is where you'd go to, you can email support.crossref.org or you can submit a request here. This isn't showing me the whole window. I just wanted to show you something that many publisher was with some publishers have a lot of technical staff, or maybe it's like a technical staff and non-technical staff that contact us regularly. And so you can use this site to look at requests you've sent us, or to look at the status of an existing request. We can also, and this is what I wanted to point out, we can also put you in a publisher group. So I've logged in as user Patricia Feeney, and Patricia Feeney works for Example Publishing. So if you go in here, you can see tickets from both Patricia Feeney and the other employee of Example Publishing, which is Pandora, which is my cat's name. So you can see like open tickets. As you can see, there's a question here about DOIs for translation. So if I wanted to see the status of this, even though it was submitted by someone else, you can do that. As you can see here, I say the support person, who's also named Patricia Feeney, which is a little confusing, says, thank you for your question. I hope it have an answer after the annual meeting, because we're going to figure out all of the translation stuff here. So, okay, maybe not. You can also go to the help documentation. It's pretty straightforward. There's just one little thing about the help documentation I wanted to point out. This, so it's not resizing to fit this screen, so it's a little confusing. But so this is just a basic help topic. If you go down to the bottom, our new software has let us add this rating thing. Was this information helpful? So you can say yes or no. And so if I really didn't like this page, I can say no, that was horrible. And that goes to me. And
so be nice.
Yeah. So I just added that on a whim because it was available, and it's inobtrusive because it's at the bottom of the page. But I've actually gotten a lot of really useful feedback. So if you do look at our help documentation and something's really bugging you, you can just send me a quick note and maybe I can fix it. So it's and my feelings won't be hurt as long as you're polite. So, going back to my, I just also wanted to add that we've added the ORCID to the deposit schema. Jeff just pointed out that there's a little tiny problem with it, so don't run home and look at it. Give me a day or two to fix it. Okay, so I guess now we can move on to assigning DOIs to translations. Who here assigns DOIs to translations? Anyone thinking about it? No? Has anyone thought about it and then asked us what they should do about, ask us how they should assign DOI to translations and then gotten really confused and given up? No. Okay. All right. So I'm going to just go over our current approach, and while I'm doing this, you can all pretend that you're going to assign DOIs to translations so we can have a discussion. So one thing, we've been getting a lot of questions about assigning DOIs to translations, which is why we're going to discuss it now. And one thing that we can say for sure is that publishers both want to assign multiple DOIs to translations. They want to, meaning they want to assign a DOI to each translated versions. And they also want to be able to assign one DOI to an item which happens to be translated. So there's just like a different approach to each, and we'd like to support both approaches. So our current approach for multiple DOIs. So if the deposited metadata for the translated items is significantly different from the metadata for the original language item or for other translated items, you can assign a distinct DOI to the translation. So that means like either the ISSN, ISBN, volume issue, or first page should be different, which is fairly straightforward for a lot of translations, especially for translations in print journals because they always have a page number. But for sometimes for online journals, it's not as clear, and there might not be distinct metadata. Our current approach for a single DOI is for the publisher to assign one DOI and then on the publisher's end, direct users to the translated version. Or you can also use multiple resolution for that, which is where we allow you to assign multiple URLs to a single DOI. And you can capture some of the translated metadata in the deposit. You can send in multiple journal titles, but not multiple ISSNs. And we have a original language title element, which allows you to capture another version of a title. But there are downsides to all of these options, or backsides, depending on how you want to look at it. So for the multiple DOI option, users need to be aware of a translation to query for it. That means if you've got three different versions of an article in different languages, the cited by results will be split between those three DOIs, whereas you might want to be collecting the cited by information for the article as, you know, just as a single entity. And of course, as I mentioned before, there are cases where the metadata might not be distinct enough to be distinguishable by our system, so we'll be sending you all kinds of alerts and warnings about conflicts, and it presents a problem when querying. So for the single DOI option, this schema doesn't really collect all of the necessary metadata in an elegant way, and in some cases we just don't collect translation information at all. It needs more management on your end because you have to decide where you're, you have to manage redirecting the user once the DOI gets to the landing page. And the translation options might not be obvious to users and library link resolvers. So there's a lot of things that can go wrong with that. So we kind of hack together a solution to this one for depositing multiple for the first instance of assigning multiple DOIs to translations. Basically, you'd set up a parent-child relationship between the original language DOI and the translation DOIs. And it would be a pretty simple deposit. That's one of the pluses. You'd include the parent DOI, which would be the original language DOI. You'd include a little flag identifying this as a translation. You could include some additional metadata, and then you'd also include the DOI of the translation. So that's pretty simple. The big problem with that is that the DOI system doesn't distribute relationships between DOIs currently, unless you know that they're there and you ask for them. You'd have to query for the parent DOI and say, give me all the components for this DOI, and then you'd have the DOIs, but you know, most people don't know to do that. And the metadata for the translation DOIs isn't really adequate the way the scheme is currently set up. The big plus to this is that we could do this fairly easily without making significant changes to the schema or the system, but it's really a short-term solution and won't solve all of the problems surrounding translations. Also, it can be a little confusing. So we came up with just kind of a brainstormed and came up upon a fourth solution. It's a more significant solution. It requires reconfiguring how the schema handles titles and how our system handles relationships between DOIs, which I mentioned before, it currently doesn't do that really. So for assigning a single DOI to translations, we'd like to capture the metadata for the translated works, which the current schema doesn't allow. We'd allow submission of multiple titles with a language attribute and other title information like abbreviation and ISSNs. And article titles could be duplicated as well, and we need to make some back-end changes to support this. And we can also allow country code support, which is currently supported by the DOI proxy. We just haven't set it up on our end. So it could possibly look a little like this. This is just, you know, brainstorming, so this isn't really what the schema would look like. So if it seems a little clunky, this wouldn't be the final version. This is actually the way the current schema is set up. There's a language attribute at the journal metadata level, so the part of the deposit where we collect all of the journal information, you can flag that as being a certain language, but which obviously doesn't accommodate multiple languages. You can submit multiple full titles, but you can't identify those as being of a particular language, and you can only send in one ISSN. So this is the one possible solution. This is just really to demonstrate how much we'd have to change the schema. You'd have to move a language attribute to the full title, so you could flag the actual journal title as being, you know, in French or Chinese as opposed to the top level. And we'd have to add journal groups that would accommodate multiple titles. And this is how we currently handle article titles, which is, when you really dig into it, it's a little funny. But you can submit a single title and a subtitle and one original language title or subtitle. This doesn't work for items with multiple translations. This would only work if you have like a one translation. And also the term original language title is confusing. It should be translated title. So our proposed change would be to add more groups that would capture additional title and subtitle combinations and add a language attribute so that all that information would be collected. And the other change would be country code support, meaning that users from all around the world would click on a DOI. The DOI would go through the DOI proxy and they'd be directed to the appropriate copy for their language. So that solution would work if you're depositing a single DOI for a translation. If you want to deposit multiple DOIs, we'd need to make some changes to the schema that would set up a relationship between DOIs, which is fairly simple. And then we would need to make those same changes in the system, which I understand is a lot more complex. But I think we might need to be doing that for other reasons. So here's what it could look like. A publisher could deposit the DOIs as usual and include any related DOIs in the deposit. I added something called a DOI collection element that focuses, for anyone who's familiar with our schema, it functions like a citation or component list. You just tack it on to the end of a deposit. And presumably we'd support collection-only updates like we do for citations and component lists. And the citation would include a related DOI element with a relationship attribute. So this is where you'd say, okay, these are all the DOIs that are translations of this other DOI. And then the system would link them together. So if someone queried for a certain DOI, they could potentially get back all of the translated versions. So that seems like an elegant solution, but I think it requires a lot of system changes, which is the big hang-up. I also wanted to mention that we're really thinking about revisiting how we handle author names. We don't currently manage variations in author names, but it's needed. A lot of authors will use both their actual real name and an anglicized version of their name. And both really should be queryable, but they aren't currently. And that's not just a translation issue, that's an overall issue. The current submission schema only allows one version of a name. Sometimes publishers will deposit multiple versions of a name just to aid in querying, but that's kind of a mess when someone actually wants to use your metadata and display it. So we would like to add something kind of like with the article and journal groups, just like a way to collect the alternate name in a way that's related to the author name. Again, that's something that is very easy schematically. Like, I could implement that tomorrow, but actually having the system work with that would be very complicated. So just to go over what I just said, our existing solutions aren't really adequate. We have kind of a hack-together solution that will make some forms of depositing translations less painful, or we can just rewrite everything. So does anyone have any comments, or have I lost everyone?
Soichi Tokizane of Aichi University. I think we have a similar, you know, issues about book, you know, DOIs. Mm. And in Japan, for example, the especially for book digitization project, we have a book digitization project run by the National Diet Library. Mm-hmm. And they are allowed to digitize books, you know, even the current books, and you know, which you know, deposited by publishers. Mm-hmm. But and they can assign DOIs to those. Mm-hmm. But the publishers themselves would like to have DOIs themselves. Mm-hmm. And you know, and there, you know, we don't know how to, you know, solve this issues. So the same book can have multiple DOIs depending on who digitized them.
This is a slightly different form of the problem. Assigning multiple DOIs to translations is easy because it assumes that it's the same publisher who's responsible for all that material. Now, books are, we've had some discussions with various book working groups about the situation with books. And books is subject to what are really supply chain problems, aren't really publishing and linking problems. And so a given book may be provided via any number of supply chains. And no one is really at the top of the food chain, if you will, in regard to managing this. And so every one of these players want to have a DOI, and they want theirs to be the prominent DOI, and they want the links for the DOIs for the books to come to them, because it all drives commerce. And so there is not a solution at this point in time. One of Crossref's fundamental policies is that the copyright owner is the entity allowed to assign the DOI to the content. And that holds up very well in journals and in a lot of books. But when other providers have the rights to distribute books, that rule kind of falls apart. I don't know if Carol, who's really been leading the book working group at Crossref, has any, you want to say anything on?
I'll just come up here because that's the mic. We'll talk about it just a little bit more later in the afternoon when we talk about books, but Chuck is basically right. We don't have an answer, but it is a big problem and we're looking at it, so.
So with regard to the changes that Patricia mentioned on titles and languages, we're going to do something. And some of the things are harder and more tricky, but it is an evolution of the system that needs to happen. I have a question back here from a gentleman.
Hi, I'm Ed Pence from Crossref. Just on this point, I mean, we've obviously been discussing this, and I think one important point in terms of what we're likely to do is that, you know, Crossref is set up for the purposes of citation and enabling somebody to click a citation and get to what was cited. So I think that helps decide what we'll do with the translations, because obviously if somebody's read a translated version of an article, that's what they're going to cite, and that's what, if you click on a citation, to the article, you know, you don't want to go to the original language version when somebody's actually read the translated version and drawn some totally different conclusion, possibly because of the way the article was translated. So I think unfortunately, we'll probably have to do the hardest decision, which is, you know, we would allow multiple DOIs, right? The translated version should have a DOI, but we want to capture the relationship for it so that you can then you could tie it together. But I think, you know, you probably really, that's the only option really that'll help sort things out in terms of citations, right? And right now we're not able. So right now I think in a couple of cases the translated version has a separate DOI, and we don't have the relationship in the system, right? So, but it still means that if a reader clicks, they'll still go to what was cited. So at least in that sense, it's okay. But I think it would be dangerous if we did anything to mess up the clarity of the citation link. The digitized versions of books is an interesting case, because I think that has a similar that's a similar issue, because again, you want to get to what was cited and what was used. And we've had cases now where a digitized version of a book from a particular library has things that were written in the margin. Like, I think there was a copy of Darwin's books and he's written something in the margin. And so that's the same title as, you know, that the publisher might have, but the digitized version at the library, you know, you want to be able to cite it separately, so it should have a separate DOI. So I think but that's a very different question from the supply chain and ebook formats, which is another whole complicated thing. So a lot of interesting things. But I think in the first two cases, something should have a DOI if it's something that's a separate citable item.
Okay. So
So this question is not specifically related to any of those presentations, but I think this is a good place for it. And I'm not sure if we have the answer, but maybe somebody in the room does. So the question is, I usually prepare my reference XML and cited by linking XML manually using Notepad. Do you have any tool or software to generate these XMLs? So presumably some of you are using parsers or things that would be easier for this person to use than Notepad. Does anybody want to help them out, make some suggestions?
Well, the citation deposit tool is exactly that. That's a perfect fit. I don't know the source of their content, the format of the source of their content, but the citation deposit tool should be perfectly applicable. And if not, I'm sure the Simpletext query form could help do that.
Mm-hmm. Right, and the nice thing about that is you get the XML back. So then, if you needed to make changes, you have it. Right.
That's true.
Okay. Anybody else have different workflows where they're using third-party tools to create their XML that they want to recommend? No? Okay.
Okay.
That's it.
Any other questions?